Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Trust and Believe. I'm your host, Sean T, and today we are talking about something we've never talked about on Trust and Believe. But before I tell you what it is, just know that it's done in a really great way and in a really educational way. We are talking about butt stuff with the amazing Dr. Carlton. He found notoriety on TikTok throughout the pandemic and has been and now traveling around the country, giving people lots and lots of tips on gay sex, everything GI. He is an incredible doctor. It's not only gay sex. He's talking to straight people too, but he just wants to open your mind up to different ways to have fun in the bedroom with your partner. Get ready to trust and believe.
Somebody say, oh yeah.
What's up?
Better than Oprah.
Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're going to get to the nitty-gritty a little bit later, but I do want to get your background. I'm absolutely obsessed with what you do in your everyday life. And I know a lot of people, especially the gay community, now knows you as like the go-to gay doctor for all things of all things. But let's talk about how you got there. What is your educational background?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in South Carolina. Very conservative, small tobacco town. And I knew I was different when I was about 6 or 7 years old, twirling around in the yard, pretending I was Linda Carter, you know, trying to change into Wonder Woman. It tells you a little bit of how old I am. But I knew I was different. I wanted to get out of there. And my ticket out was education. I always wanted to be a doctor. Even when I was 6 or 7, I think I got trapped saying that in front of my parents. So every time I was introduced to some other kid's parents, they would say, yeah, he's going to be a doctor. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this. my parents were amazing, but very humble people. They only had a 12th grade education. They graduated high school and that was it. I was in church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Very, very, very conservative Southern Baptist background. So it really, I had a deep conflict in me about my sexuality because I was always taught that who I am was wrong. Mm. So I really battled with that for a long time. I went to college at the University of South Carolina. I did my medical school training at the Medical University of South Carolina. And I did a visiting rotation in med school at the Mayo Clinic in gastroenterology, which was what I was interested in. And that 1 month at Mayo as a fourth year medical student got them, they really loved me immediately. We really connected. I worked really hard and I got offered not only an internal medicine residency, but a GI fellowship if I would just come to Mayo and do my internal medicine. So I spent 6 years of my life, 6 long winters in Minnesota at the Mayo Clinic, at the world's top GI program, the world's top hospital, doing what I love. I had always wanted to live in California. I think I watched a little bit too much of Brady Bunch and Beverly Hillbillies growing up. And I just knew, hey, that's where I want to be. I want to be out there in Southern California. And my first job was in Palm Springs. We had kids when I was 32 years old and moved to San Diego, where I am now, about 11 years ago, because we realized that San Diego was just a much better place to, you know, for the kids to have opportunities to do fun things. So I'm in practice in San Diego County, all over the place. I serve quite a melting pot of people, from Mexican immigrants to Filipino, Vietnamese, Middle Eastern, every walk of life, basically. But I also serve the gay community here, too. I have an office that I work out of on Monday mornings that primarily serves LGBTQ patients. And that's been a real source of happiness and inspiration for me, because I've always wanted to be a source of care for our community.
And how does the office for the LGBT community differ from, you know, where you're at for the rest of the week?
Well, it's completely different, because my other practices, I think English is spoken probably 15% of the time. Wow. Just because, like I said, it's such a melting pot, and there's so many people from so many different places here, that my downtown office is out of another gay primary care provider's office, and he actually has a lot of gay primary care patients, and so that's where I get a lot of my referrals for specialty.
What are some of like the three to five main points that people can really do to take care of themselves, you know, on the inside, to like in some ways avoid what you, or try to avoid what you see on a day-to-day basis?
Well, definitely don't smoke. Smoking leads to so many issues with cancers, like lung cancer. It's linked to almost every cancer, basically, but heart disease, stroke. And sadly, a lot of people still smoke, and it's such an instigator to a lot of our problems and health. I think also fitness is important, where you are right now, helping people get fit, exercising. You don't have to have a perfect body, but definitely fitness is really important, because the obesity epidemic in our country, it really does lead to health problems in some people, like diabetes. And it's linked to a lot of other health issues that are just lead to long-term problems. So exercise, eating right, avoiding smoking, those are the three big ones.
At least in my world, it's something that's, you know, popping up in younger people, especially like some women that I've seen a lot, like younger 30s women. Do you know why that's popping up, and like some of the things, you know, ease our minds out there, because it's something that is popping up a lot?
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. The all of the different groups in gastroenterology recently, we've dropped the screening age for colon cancer from 50 to 45 just this past few weeks. There's been a call for it gradually and more gradually, to finally it got accepted to drop it to 45 for just general screening in the last couple of weeks. We're waiting for insurance companies to really all catch up with that recommendation. Because a lot of them still only screen at 50 as far as full coverage for screening. Family history is very important when it comes to colon cancer. If you have a family history of colon cancer, you should screen 10 years earlier than the person who had the colon cancer. So if your mom had colon cancer at 45, you need to have your first colonoscopy at 35. Mm. And that's in first degree relatives, like mother, brother, father, sister, like that. So that's just pure screening, but you need to pay attention to your body. So if you have changes in your bowel habits, like constipation, if you're having increasing abdominal pain, rectal bleeding that's not explained, unexplained weight loss, those are all symptoms and signs of potential problems with colon cancer. So increasing constipation, weight loss, changes in bowel habits, bleeding, all very important to note. And those are what I call red flags, and you need to have a colonoscopy for investigational purposes at that point, and not screening.
You know, a lot of times when you hear about health, you hear about unexplained weight loss. But what about somebody who's actually working out? Like, how do you tell the difference between unexplained weight loss and, you know, weight loss that happens because you are sick?
Well, if you're not exercising and you're just dropping weight and you're eating normally, then something's going on. Something's causing you to lose that weight. There's some sort of metabolic change. Either cancer cells are metabolizing the calories that you have in your body stored, or there could be a thyroid disorder messing up your metabolism. Something's happening. So when you're exercising, obviously, if you're exercising and you're eating right and you're making a change that way, weight loss is going to happen. That's normal and that's natural. That's part of it. But if you're not doing anything at all and weight's just falling off of you, it's a red flag.
Now that I got the Dr. Carlton out the way, I want to talk to Dr. Carlton. Okay. What was your motivation to, number one, start a TikTok page, and number two, to really, you know, go down the road of just, you know, talking about sex and making, you know, sex a, just not so like taboo or scary, and just like being, right, talking about what it is for what it is.
Absolutely. I remember being slut shamed when I went into my med school health office to ask for an HIV test because I had it was in the 90s. I had a new boyfriend. I wanted to have sex with him, but I also wanted to be a responsible human being and get an HIV test to make sure that I didn't pass anything from me to him, to protect him and to be a good person. And the nurse looked at me and said, "Ugh, you know, we are not a county clinic, honey. You know, just really shamed me for trying to be proactive and taking care of my health and other people's health." And I will never forget that feeling of shame and embarrassment. And I never wanted anyone else to feel that way. So to skip ahead a little bit to the TikTok phenomenon, when the pandemic hit, as a doctor, I'm used to going to work and helping people and doing my job and finding cancers and getting them taken out early or preventing cancers. Suddenly I'm in the hospital worrying if I'm going to die because I went to work that day. You know, am I going to get exposed to this virus, and am I going to bring it home to my family? Because I have my own risk factors, am I going to die from COVID? Tremendous stress in my life. I mean, the anxiety level was through the roof. Luckily, my husband's been very supportive and has kept me in check the whole time, which has been amazing. But I needed a stress release, and my kids are on TikTok, on a separate area of TikTok. And I thought, well, what's so great about TikTok? So I turned it on one night, and that was about 8 o'clock at night. And then about midnight, boom, I looked up at my phone and said, holy crap, it's 4 hours later. What's going on here? But you get lost in it. There's something for everyone. The algorithm figures out what you like. You know, I was laughing, I was crying, I was getting educated, I was learning how to cook cool things. So I was kind of a lurker for about a month or two. And then I started posting little stupid videos. And then I thought, well, what can I do? What do I know about that other people don't know about? Or how can I help this expand this platform? And I said, well, you know, I'm gay. I have almost 50 years of experience being gay now. And and I'm a butt doctor. So why don't we talk about anal sex and how to make it better and how to make it safer, how to make it more pleasurable? Everybody's got a butt, and there's a lot of taboo out there. A lot of people are afraid to explore that area, and some of the best sensations in your body can come from that area. So I said, well, let me make a little video series, and I did a butt stuff 1 and 2, and I think that's probably what you saw, about how to make it a better experience. And I said, let's just see what happens. The first comment came from some very conservative mother in Iowa who was very disappointed in me for posting something about butt stuff on TikTok. And I thought, oh no, I can either delete the app or delete the videos, or I can block this woman and see what happens. So I decided to block her and keep going. And I turned off my phone. And the next morning I woke up to 35,000 new followers and almost 1 million hits on these videos. And I thought, whoa, okay, I've hit on something. Clearly, the gay guys have come out in full force, and they're just, you know, learning a little bit about things. But then I looked at the analytics of it, and it was over half women. And I thought, wow, okay, this is good. Okay, we've got some new territory to explore. So I kept posting a few videos, and things really exploded. And now we're up to about 213,000 followers on TikTok. And my platform has evolved over time to really include a lot of other issues. But, you know, that it first started on that. So, and that's when you and I met. I did your Why Not After Dark series. And that was my first opportunity to talk to a live group. And it really has taken off from there. This is, I think, about the 14th podcast I've done since that night. So things are really taking off. Thank you. Things have really taken off. And it's been an amazing experience. And it's touched on so many different things that we'll talk about that I had no idea would happen during this whole situation.
What are some of your favorite messages that you've gotten, or some of like your favorite encounters that you've had?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There have been so many amazing things that have happened. I have an exercise that I teach on my Instagram at that, and I've even had that video on TikTok in a little bit more short form about how to relax your anus for anal sex, because a lot of people just either get injured, they're terrified that they can't get something in there. So I had this exercise that people all around the world, men and women, have both messaged me on, saying, hey, this has revolutionized my sex life. Women are saying, hey, I see why there's millions of gay guys now. This is awesome. a gay guy will say, hey, my husband loves this so much. You've really changed our lives. Thank you so much. The fact that I'm having that kind of impact on people, that's been crazy. I've had also an impact that I never expected in the far reaches of the world where being gay is criminal. Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia, Iran, all over Africa, Asia, even people in India that where it's such a taboo, people are messaging me saying, we have no gay sex education. I have this thing happening on my butt right now. I'm gay. I've had gay sex. If I go to the doctor in Saudi Arabia with this thing on my butt and it's an STI, I will be executed.
Wow.
So can you help relieve my mind? What is this? And I'll say, okay, send a vanishing picture on Instagram. As long as you're over 18, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you if it's anything to worry about. Oh, nope, that's just a hemorrhoid. You don't need to worry about it. And just the relief of taking the fear of execution for that day off of somebody's shoulder. Never thought that would happen with this platform. I mean, it's something we take for granted here in the United States, and it's why we need Pride, you know, to remember where we've come from and that there's still a fight around the world to lift other people up who need us.
What are some other TikToks that you've put out there or information that you've put out there that you felt was really, you know, profound for you and for your followers?
Well, I think that you mentioned earlier, we talked about this earlier about lack of sex education. We barely got sex education in South Carolina growing up, and gay sex education, I never got that. And even residency, fellowship, medical school, college, I never got gay sex education. And I realized what a lack of gay sex education there is out there. So a lot of the things I talk about, like PrEP, the new ways that you can do PrEP that are not the traditional way you use PrEP, the ways for harm reduction as far as making sure you get your vaccines that you should get as an LGBTQ or mostly gay, bi, queer person. Things like HPV, hepatitis A, hepatitis B. The HPV vaccine prevents anal warts and anal cancer, as well as cervical cancer. So I'm a big proponent of that. And a lot of us never knew that the HPV vaccine was even available because it really hasn't been available for men. Now it's approved up to age 45, and you can get it later than 45 if you pay for it.
Well, that's what I was going to say with that vaccine, because I heard that you could only get it when you were younger.
Right. Well, even the new commercials for the vaccine show that it's approved for people up to 45 years old, but you can get it later than 45. The idea about the age thing is you want to get it before you're exposed to HPV. And there's an assumption that most people have been exposed to HPV by these ages if they've been sexually active. So that's why it's probably not as effective or not as advised. But I say, hey, if an ounce of harm reduction is worth a pound of cure. So I think it's important. And trust me, I've seen so many gay men or women who've come in with anal warts or worse from HPV that really regret that they never got that vaccine.
Yeah, because without it going unnoticed, it can cause cancer. Yeah,
absolutely, for sure. It sure can cause cancer. Most often in gay men, when it's connected with HIV, there's a 70 times increased risk of HIV plus HPV causing anal cancer than just if you were HIV negative. So other messages: undetectable equals untransmittable for HIV. There's such a huge discrimination in our own community against HIV positive men and women there's an assumption that you're going to get HIV from someone who's HIV positive just because they're positive, or that they're dirty or unclean. I'm absolutely out here to completely erase that message and make sure that everybody is aware that undetectable equals untransmittable, that HIV cannot be transmitted through sex from a person who is HIV positive but undetectable on medications. So that's something that sadly still exists in our community. There's such people go on hookup app.
I want you to tell people out there what PrEP is, because I think a lot of people actually don't know. People who are not in the gay lifestyle don't know. And then the second thing is, you know, we know what PrEP does, and I just want to talk about the STI, like the sexual transmitted infections.
Absolutely.
In relation to PrEP. So tell people what PrEP is, and then I have some questions.
This is the meat and potatoes of what I talk about right now, and it's really important for everybody. So PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's what it stands for. So it's another method of protection against HIV infection. So you take a daily pill, or there's other alternative ways, but right now I'll just talk about taking a daily pill. So Truvada and Descovy are the two brand name medications that are described as PrEP. They are pills that if you take on a daily basis are extremely effective at preventing HIV infection, even if you have sex with a positive person without protection. You can have a huge barrier against HIV. So this is amazing. So pre-exposure prophylaxis, you take it on a daily basis. There are alternatives where if you don't really have sex that much, you can, with the higher dose medication Truvada, you can take it on demand. That's not FDA approved, but it is used in Europe mostly right now and is incredibly effective, so that you take it, or if you can plan sex. So if you have a hot date on Friday night, you know you're going to have sex. If you take two pills prior to the encounter, at least 2 to 24 hours prior, and then one pill 24 hours each after that, there are a lot of restrictions and a lot of caveats about it that I have outlined on my Instagram page on the do's and don'ts and who it's for and who it's not for. To prevent HIV infection. So you're taking four pills. Say you only have sex once a month, you're only taking four pills in a month as opposed to 31 pills in a month or 30 pills in a month. Because PrEP, a couple things I want to make sure that people understand. PrEP prevents HIV, and that's it. It doesn't prevent chlamydia. It doesn't prevent gonorrhea. It doesn't prevent anal warts. It doesn't prevent syphilis. It doesn't prevent herpes. There are other things out there. So you have to make a decision about your level of protection. And one of the things that's happening in the gay community, particularly right now, is nobody's using condoms. And I can preach till I'm blue in the face, use condoms, use condoms, use condoms, use condoms to prevent STIs. A lot of guys still, they don't want to hear that. So part of my message with this whole gay sex education is say, okay, I advise you to use condoms, but if you're not going to, this is what you need to know. This is what you need to look out for. This is how you need to get tested. One of the big things that a lot of even straight doctors don't know, and sometimes you can't find this kind of testing, but you need to get checked where you play when you go for your STI checkups. So if you have oral sex with someone, you need to get your throat swabbed to check for gonorrhea and chlamydia in your throat, because you could have gonorrhea or chlamydia there, but not in a urine test because it wasn't in your vagina or in your penis that you played. Mm. If you had receptive anal intercourse, you need to get your butt swabbed for gonorrhea, chlamydia, because you could have an infection there and not know it, and pass it on to some, you know, your next partner without realizing it. So if you don't get checked where you play, you might miss an infection. Because I've had people who got the urine test at their doctor's office, but they also had anal or oral sex, and the test turned out positive in those other places. They would have never known if they had just gotten a urine test, because the urine test was negative.
You answered my question, which was going to be, how do you get people to, like, you know, still use a condom if they're not familiar with their sex partner? And I, you know, and we're talking a lot about gay, mm-hmm. but, you know, straight people out there too, because Absolutely. They are not, you know, the world yeah. is opening up. The pandemic is about to be mm-hmm. over. And so, you know, I think everybody needs to hear this.
Yeah. So PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. There's also a post-exposure prophylaxis. Mm. So if you are negative and you're not on PrEP, and you have an exposure to a situation that could have transmitted HIV to you in whatever format, you can get what's called post-exposure prophylaxis if you are started on it within 72 hours of the encounter. So say you go out to a bar on Saturday night, you meet someone, you go home, you have unprotected sex with them, you wake up the next day and say, you know what, we didn't even have a discussion about whether or not they're positive, or later they told me they were positive and they were detectable and they weren't on medications. Oh shit, what do I do? You can go on post-exposure prophylaxis within 72 hours in an emergency form for a month, and it is very, very effective at preventing an HIV infection. But you have to do it within 72 hours.
You are so, like...
Or you go out to a bar, you get drugged, you get raped, you know, sexually assaulted. You can prevent HIV infection by taking post-exposure prophylaxis. So, you know, there are all kinds of scenarios where this can happen. So I just want people to be aware that just because an event happened doesn't mean you have to potentially suffer the consequences of a lifelong infection from that.
You are... in a relationship, a gay relationship with straight, and you're mm-hmm. having, you know, anal sex, is there something that your partner would be able to tell by having sex with you that you need to go get checked? Like, is there something that they can feel down mm-hmm. there that they could be like, hey, this was kind of awkward?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, well, I mean, it, it depends on exactly what happens. I mean, if your partner sticks a finger in your butt and feels a lump or a bump that just feels weird, that's not smooth like the rest of the tissue, then there could be something growing in there, and you should definitely get that checked by a doctor. Really, as far as risk for cancer from having gay sex, there's no increased risk of colon cancer from being a bottom or from having gay sex. The only issue is anal cancer from HPV. That's why if there's a lump or bump on your anus or just inside the anus, it could be related to an HPV lesion. Those can be easily taken care of when they're tiny like that so that they don't blossom into something worse.
Cool. Thank mm-hmm. you, Dr. Carlton. I could talk to you all day. I think you know definitely. It. I just really appreciate you being able to share what you share in such a fun way, but like super educational way, and not sounding like a bully doctor, if you will.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think we have to be realistic about in medicine, is that you can preach until you're blue in the face about what you should do and what you shouldn't do, but there's a limit as to what people are going to, when they're going to start shutting off and completely tune out at all. So for me, I think giving people the information to arm themselves with making decisions is important. So, hey, this is going to prevent this, but if you don't do this, this is what you need to know. So harm reduction is very important to me. So if you're not going to use a condom and you have sex and you're on PrEP, then, you know, get checked for these STIs every 3 months. If you have any symptoms like burning or discharge or bleeding or rashes or anything like that, get checked immediately. But people tune out when you say, oh, use condoms every single time. So I realize that I can't make people do that, but I'm going to give them the information to make the decisions they need to make about what they do.
There are still people out there who are free to come out as gay, lesbian, mm-hmm. bi, transgender, queer. You know, what are some, you know, do you have any advice for those people who still may be struggling? You know, they might be just stepping out of the closet, or they're like about to turn the handle. You know, because, you know, this podcast is called Trust and Believe, and I feel like Absolutely. You have a way to help people trust and believe in where they are and how to move forward in their lives.
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, you just have to, you have to live your true, authentic life. You have to be who you are. We're only given one chance in this life. We're only given one shot in this life. And it's so fleeting and so short. And if you can't be happy, if you can't, you know, you can't be happy, I don't think you can be happy without being who you truly are. So you need to take the steps to take that opportunity to live your authentic life. If you're having problems coming out, there are some great resources to help you come out. The TrevorProject.org is aimed at young people as far as coming out resources, but those resources are also incredibly helpful for other people who are struggling to come out. There's a handbook on how to come out on the Trevor Project. So I think it's important for people to be aware of that website. The TrevorProject.org also has a suicide hotline for people who are just feeling really, really down and depressed about the situation, and maybe even suicidal about it. Now, my goal in this whole thing is to be that resource for people who never got gay sex education, to be that resource for people who just want to learn more about anal sex or general health. You know, until I get noticed by some television producer or radio producer, you can always find me at TikTok at Dr. Carlton, all spelled out, DrCarlton, on Instagram and TikTok. I answer all of my DMs on Instagram. So if you have any questions or concerns and you just want to talk privately to someone, I'm always there for you, and it's free of charge.
Yes, please reach out to Dr. Carlton. Don't blow up his inbox too much. You know, he has patients to see every day. But I also think you should somehow get on Twitter. I think you're very witty, and you would have some, I think the same thing you do on the other platforms, if you're not on Twitter, like giving these little snippets of information, I think might go really well.
I actually do have a Twitter that's Dr_Carlton, but it's just starting and it's kind of growing a little bit. And some of the more extreme things that I talk about in life that you can't really talk about on Instagram or on TikTok, I should probably start posting there. I just had my first live show in Austin yesterday in Texas.
That sucks. I'll be going there next week or this coming weekend.
Yeah, so that was incredible. A company called Surratt Leather brought me out and we did a live workshop and it was just incredible. I had so much fun. I look forward to doing more of those things.
Congratulations. You got to tell me so we can come out and check you out.
That sounds awesome.
Cool. Thank you, Dr. Carlton. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.